Greetings. Welcome. Do an anarchy moment from the trail. So if you want to stalk the great one on the internet, well, not stalk me on the internet, but use the internet to stalk my physical location. If you find yourself a map of the trail systems of Lori, L-O-R-Y, Lori State Park, right outside of Fort Collins, Colorado, People's Republic of. If you look at the trail system, you'll see where the trails mesh with Horsetooth Mountain Park, which is right next door. Well, that's where I'm standing right now. Rode the bike up here this morning. It's a 25-mile round trip. So 12.5 miles up, 12.5 miles back. The ride back is really nice because it's almost all downhill. The ride out here is brutal because there's a lot of uphill. The last 3 miles is pretty rough. The last mile and a half is simply a killer. No matter how many times I ride out here, that last mile and a half does not ever get any easier. Absolutely brutal. I ditched the bicycle. Now I'm trail running on the trails. If you want to stalk the great one on the internet, let's see, what is this? If you look on the map of Lori State Park, doing the South Valley Trail. So anyhow, I'm out here. My goal was trail run to where Lori and Horsetooth mesh up. Stop and do it. Whoa, what is that? Deer. 1, 2, 3. I'm up on a high point looking down into a small valley. This isn't like huge valley stuff. I'm not on a giant high point, but I'm on a high point looking down into a valley, and there I see 3 deer coming walking towards me. It's all green. It rained yesterday. I mean, it was not real rain, for those of you from places that have real rain. It's Colorado rain, so that means it rained for 20 minutes, and that was it. But it's enough that everything's greened up a little. And it's great because all the dust has settled down. The trails are damp. They're not muddy, but they're damp. So you can run, and there's no dust everywhere. So it's perfect running conditions. Weather is nice. We got a breeze, partly cloudy. All right, none of that has anything to do with anarchy. This is just me, Bry. It's Thursday morning. I don't know what time it is. It's probably between 9 and 9:30 in the morning. Thursday morning. Many of you are in your cubicles right now. cubicles. cubicles. Yes, you're in your cubicle. And God, I'm out here just fucking loving the fact that I'm alive. It's fucking beautiful. God, it's beautiful. Here, I'll hold the Zoom H2 recorder up and pan it around so you can see how beautiful it is out here. There you go. That's what you're missing. And I can hear the birds. You probably can't hear the birds on here. Anyhow, and it's fairly deserted out here because it is Thursday and most people are in their cubicles. All right, anarchy. Get out here. First thing this morning, I'm parking the bike and I'm locking it up. And there's these two broads walking down the road and they're talking very loud, the way broads do. And one of them is saying to the other, yeah, well, they were elected to run the country, not pursue their own personal agendas. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what we're talking about. And they talk some, I don't really remember. And then, of course, they're complaining about Donald Trump. And the one stupid bitch says that, Well, we can say one thing for Donald Trump. He's made Obamacare more popular than it ever was. Nobody wants to repeal Obamacare. And I'm thinking, well, actually, a lot of people want to repeal Obamacare. And here's the thing, and I thought about this for a second, because I think, unlike you fucking 99%ers who just mindlessly repeat shit and believe what you hear. Oh, the deer are getting closer. I thought about this. Has Donald Trump actually made Obamacare more popular than ever? Is there actually nobody who wants to see Obamacare repealed? I assume I'm nobody or something. I don't know. My answer is no. What's happening from the perspective of these two dumb whores? I'm sorry, cunts. They're probably not whores because neither of them were attractive that any man would pay them money for sex. Although I'm sure that's why they're out here on Thursday morning walking, because both of them are married to men who are paying them to do whatever left-wing statist women do in the household. There's a big dragonfly hovering about. I was checking him out. That's why I was getting distracted. Anyway, where was I? What's happening from the perspective of this woman is that before the Trump and Fuhrer was elected, there were all these people talking about getting rid of Obamacare, blah, blah, blah. And they were getting attention because Democrats needed somebody to point out and say, hey, look, these people are evil. They want to take away your Obamacare. They want you to die. Then the Trump and Fuhrer got elected. Well, now, at this point, the mainstream media, which is where both of these women get their news, mostly from CNN, I'm sure, the mainstream media at this point does not want to call any attention to anybody who wants to repeal Obamacare, other than politicians. Now, they still want to point at politicians and say the politicians are evil, but they don't want to show you, quote unquote, common people, citizens, voters, normal people, people who have jobs. They don't want you to see any of those people being in favor of repealing Obamacare. The mainstream media only wants to show you common people, 99%ers, sheeple, who support Obamacare in order to make it look like everybody supports Obamacare. Obamacare is more popular than ever, and that these politicians who want to get rid of Obamacare are, of course, evil and self-serving and pursuing their own personal agendas, which of course they are. They are evil, they are self-serving, they are pursuing their own personal agendas. But then so are the liberal Democrats, so is Obama, so is everybody involved in Obamacare, a law that forces you to buy health insurance from privately owned corporations. And remember, the people who voted for Obama are the same people who hate the corporations. That's why they're in favor of a law that forces you to buy things from corporations. Because reasons. And it is the current year. And of course, we all know that any sort of intellectual consistency means that you're a Nazi. So that was the first thing that greeted me this morning. Oh, I gotta walk back down the trail here to where I left my running vest and get a drink of water before I launch into this next little bit. I'm gonna go ahead and knock out. And then I'm gonna get back to running. And I don't know, the plan is to knock out a couple of episodes while I'm out here. We'll see what happens. Because I got some shit I should go home and do, but honest to God, man, I've been productive-ish for the last few days. I'm not really concerned about productivity today. If I fail to do anything, if I fail to do anything productive today, I'm going to be completely okay with that. Okay. Water. water is good. Whew. I am listening to the audiobook, a book called The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Right offhand, I do not remember, go away, fly. Right offhand, I do not remember where I heard about this book. I stumbled across it someplace on the interwebs. Something, somewhere, something, something saw it. And I thought, well, that looks interesting. Now, there's two versions. There's the original, and then there's the updated version. There's the second edition is the correct phrase I'm looking for. Jeff, I'm trying to remember. I think he said the second edition came out in 2016. Anyhow, so the first one is Confessions of an Economic Hitman. The second one is The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Wait, is it new? So the something. And I don't remember. It's okay. It's this great book. I'm reading it. I don't remember the title. And of course, I sure as hell don't remember the author's name. Anyhow, okay, here's the important part. Important part number one. I'm only on the second CD of this audiobook. And it is fucking amazing. It's got something for everybody, guys. He talks about... All right, let me say this, and then I'll talk about what he talks about. It's got something for everybody. If you hate the government, you're good to go. If you hate corporations, you're good to go. If you hate capitalism because you don't actually understand what capitalism is, then you're good to go. And even he doesn't understand what capitalism is because in the book he calls capitalism a political and economic system. Which, no, capitalism is not a political system. Capitalism is simply capitalism is actually not an ism in the sense that Marxism is a philosophy of how things should be taken away from people and all this other shit. Capitalism is not an ism. Capitalism is simply the word we use to describe a system in which you own the product of your own labor and you can do with that product as you so desire. It is not a political system. It's not even a philosophical system. Once you get, I suppose there's a philosophical basis because you have to start with the part of, philosophically speaking, why do you own that which you have created? Because as we know, there's a shit ton of people out there who think the product of your labor doesn't belong to you. I mean, that's the entire justification for taxes, right? Well, you, as Obama said, you didn't build that. That's why it can be taken away from you and given to other people who haven't done anything, because it's not yours. You didn't do that. Just because you did all the work, you didn't do that, though. You didn't build it. So anyhow, there's something in this book for everybody, especially if you're an anarchist. Now, here's this is fantastic. He summarizes how he did what he did, how the economic hitman works. Because you're wondering, well, what the fuck is an economic hitman? And that's a good question. I'm going to tell you. Based on my, I've listened to 1.5 CDs of this book. I am now an expert on being an economic, obviously, right? And here's what he does. Here's what he did. Here's what economic hitmen do. They would go into some third world country. Let's call it Nicaragua. And they go down there and... Okay, so Nicaragua. So the oil companies go down there. The evil oil corporations. And they discover oil. So they say, oh, there's oil down here. We got to get the oil out. Okay. And in the book... He admits, he's like, look, this is how it works. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Deep breath. It's hard to focus. It's really beautiful out here. It's hard to focus on bitching about the government. and the corporations, which would not exist. And as you read this book, remember, for those of you who believe in five-layer protection, right? Because the government is protecting you from the corporations. Right. Okay, here you go. This book is for you if you believe in five-layer protection. If you think the government is protecting you from the corporations, you need to read this fucking book. Okay. Texaco goes down to Nicaragua, discovers oil. Texaco comes back to the United States, and they go talk to their friends in the shadow government there. The government, the other corporations, the whatevers. The economic hitman is then sent in. Now he, at this point in the book, he works for, what the fuck is the name of this company? He works for a company, and basically what the company does is, so they, now this company he works for, now they go down to Nicaragua. And they go to the government in Nicaragua and they say, okay, we're going to do these projections. The oil company said that you've got this much oil. We're going to do these projections. Okay, so that oil, that should get you this much money. Now to get the oil out, you need all this infrastructure. Okay, so we're going to figure all this out. We're going to figure out your growth rates. We're going to look, and then you're going to get this oil and the money's going to come into your economy and your economy is going to boom, and this is going to vitalize the economy of your nation, right? We've heard this. We hear this all the time. And I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I just want to throw it out. Think about this is the same thing. You live in a big city, right? And the sports teams, they come up. You have to build us a new stadium. Because when you build us a new stadium for our sports ball team, your economy is going to boom, right? You've heard that, right? You've heard that, haven't you? Yeah, you have. Does it work? No, of course not. So that's the first parallel. I'm saving the second parallel. Parallels to the economic hitman, sports stadiums. It's exactly the same thing. Texaco finds the oil. Texaco comes back to the States. They contact the company that employs the economic hitman. The hitman goes down there with his team. They do all these projections about how the economy of Nicaragua will be improved if Nicaragua can extract the oil from the ground and sell it. Okay, they show all these numbers to the Nicaraguan government. They're like, oh, fuck, that looks great, but we don't have anything to get the oil out of the ground with. We don't have people with the expertise, we don't have the equipment, so forth and so on. Ah, not a problem, says the economic hitman. And this is where the magic begins. You see, I, the economic hitman, with assistance from the World Bank and the government of the United States, can get your country a loan. We will loan you the money to buy equipment and to pay Texaco to come to your country and extract the oil. The government of Nicaragua agrees to this. They get the loan money, they take the loan money, they give it to Texaco. As he says in the book, sometimes the money never even leaves the United States. The money simply goes from the World Bank or the federal government of the United States straight to Texaco. Texaco goes in, gets the oil out of the ground, it's sold, and while sure, a small amount of money ends up going back into the general coffers of Nicaragua, well, the standard of living for the average Nicaraguan doesn't go up whatsoever. And in fact, the government of Nicaragua, also known as the taxpayers, has to now pay back the loan with interest. Does that sound anything like what happens in your city when a new sports stadium comes to town? Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Doing great. It does. And I will explain. Morning. Okay. So, the new sports stadium comes to town. Well, what happens? Well, you get told, hey, there's going to be all these economic improvements, there's going to be all the money's going to come in, and people are going to show up and they're going to buy stuff, and on and on and on and on. So what happens? Well, the city gets money, gets loans, yada, yada, yada. They help pay for the fucking sports stadium. The fucking sports ball team gets a new stadium. They make a bunch of money because they get the revenue from the tickets. They get all sorts of advertising deals, all this other shit. The taxpayers pay for the stadium. The taxpayers don't get jack shit out of it. But it's sports ball. Parallel number two. So I'm looking at this, I'm listening to this book and thinking about the way the economic hitman works. And suddenly I realized, do you know what he's describing, the system he's describing? Let's think about this for a second. You graduate from high school. You don't know what the fuck you're going to do with your future. People show up and tell you, you should go to college. If you go to college, you'll get a college diploma. And if you have a diploma, you'll make a lot of money. It doesn't matter what you major in, you just need a diploma. So the 18-year-old kid gets a student loan. The student loan goes straight to the college. The kid doesn't see most of the money. Maybe he sees some of it in the form of living expense, but uses it to pay his rent. The kid doesn't see the money. The money goes to the college. The college gives the kid a worthless diploma. Now the kid has to pay the loan and the interest. It's the exact same system. You give people false projections of how much doing whatever will benefit their economy, their personal economy, their national economy, whatever. You get them to borrow the money from you in order to finance whatever infrastructure, education, so forth, is supposedly going to give you access to this economic gain. And then there is no actual economic gain, but you still have to pay back the loan, and you still have to pay it back with interest. It's brilliant. Absolutely fucking brilliant. And he says in the book, he says sometimes there are governments, typically, in many cases, dictators, because a lot of the third world countries, it all comes down to one guy. He says in the book that many times there are countries that don't want to sign the loan. And he says, look, here's how this works. If you don't sign the loan, the next person who shows up after me is the jackal. For those of you who don't know what the jackal is a phrase used for assassins. And he says, if the jackal fails, the next thing to show up is the United States military. And that's the important part for those of you who believe in the five-layer protection, right? If you think that the government is protecting you from the corporations, just like you're wearing five condoms when you're having sex, you've got the five-layer protection. No, he's very clear in the book that all of this is done not necessarily with intimate knowledge of the government, but the government is always there to make sure the loans go through, to get their cut, and to make sure that if anybody doesn't go along with the plan, that's when the Marines show up. All right, it's time for me to get moving again. I've been standing still for too long.